tonight. Hope that you and yours are doing well. We have a lot of things to talk about during this hour of the show, including some freaky, freaky weather. But first, here's Chuck Hagel on whether or not those missiles can reach us.
I don't believe that neither of those countries has that capacity right now. Now, does that mean that they won't have it, or they can't have it, or they're not working on it? No.
All right. They have nukes, but the question is the reach. How far can they reach? And Hagel saying no. By all the intelligence reports and gathering and everything else that they can scrape together, the Pentagon, it's a game of inches or more. But really, there is enough distance. Most would end up in, you know, in Japan. If there's a place that they can hit, obviously, landmass, Japan, parts of Asia, obviously. But the United States just a little out of reach. However, an unclassified Pentagon report that hasn't been released does say that North Korea can arm missiles with the nuclear warhead. So that is a pretty big deal. And I think the news of that has some people who were doubters kind of more than a little shook up. So you had the Joint Chiefs Chairman, General Martin Dempsey, who was testifying on Thursday before the House Armed Services Committee on the Defense Department's budget, you know, 2014 budget, because remember, that's what they're looking at now. And he was asked about North Korea and what he thought was happening with Kim Jong-un and the reach of missiles, and Chuck Hagel's obviously gone through the same thing, because that's what everybody wants to know. Can they reach us? Can it reach? How serious do you take the threats and what's happening there? And, of course, anybody who's in that gray area, I mean, how many countries do we really want to have nuclear capabilities? You know, it's interesting that we've had this discussion on America Tonight with lots of different people, but it's something that we don't think about in a way, right? You know, it's what we used to watch in the movies, or what they thought about in the 80s. Margaret Thatcher dies. What do you think about the Cold War, the potential for a nuclear disaster, trying to avert that from happening? And now it's terrorism, which of course could involve nukes, but that's never really talked about. It. You roll back to the 50s and it was the duck and cover thing. And we've talked about that on this show, where somebody who grew up then, that was practice. It was practice. What do you do in the case of a nuclear attack, which is kind of interesting when you think of what that would be like. Somebody's at school and they're ducking and covering. I mean, you know, which would you rather have? Honestly, a nuke hits. Do you want to be right there at ground zero for it? Or do you want to be like those people we saw in Japan, Nagasaki, you know, the remnants of that, and Hiroshima? Just awful when you read the stories of the radiation and what happened to those people and the massive suffering. So I think you take nuclear capabilities seriously, but we get lulled into thinking of other things and other ways of being attacked. That's why North Korea, to me, is interesting and something to pay attention to. It's not, oh yeah, so it's North Korea, you know, we're the United States, and it's not about North Korea. I mean, we could look at so many other worrisome areas, including Iran, much more than North Korea. But I think you can't take it lightly. You can't just diss it away like, no big deal, because you just really have no idea the capability. And then I think of that movie that I just saw about the White House. I can't think of the name, but Mount Olympus has fallen. And it speaks to this whole thing about a visit from the South Korean president, but really it's somebody trying to take over the White House and nukes and everything else. It's like a written script here. So, yes, it's just a Hollywoodized thing, but it is something to keep on the radar, for sure. Speaking of keeping everything on the radar, the big deal out of Washington is vote, vote, vote. What is happening with guns? The president has made this his main mission, traveling to a lot of different places to talk about guns and tell people, telling people to put pressure on their Congress people to push for the passage of some legislation so that the situation in Newtown wouldn't be so easy the next time around if somebody tried to do the same thing that Adam Lanza done. And, you know, the vice president has been the person who was dispatched initially to go talk to people to try to bring a consensus together. And the president is arguing that the National Rifle Association had a role in driving up paranoia by spreading what he's calling disinformation about proposals to combat gun violence, and said a large number of people own guns for the, you know, simply for the feel of a firearm in their hands. So the Senate voted Thursday to move forward with the gun legislation. But you look at the polls, and a lot of the polls are supporting expanded background checks. And the public is the public way ahead of the politicians, or vice versa? Or does Biden have any real sway in this and have the pulse of what's really happening? I think most people, I want to know where they're taking the polls. Most people are very worried about the guns being taken away. There's just that theory because of the things that are being said, the way they come out, whether it's, you know, Cuomo in New York or Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein in San Francisco. I think most people, if you take a poll, they're concerned about losing the right more than anything, letting it slip away. So would increased background checks do anything to hurt that? Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we're going to talk about the upcoming elections in Venezuela and talk about some place to be concerned about. Venezuela certainly is one of them, especially because of the Venezuelan ties to Iran and how deep that goes. You want to talk about an ally of somebody that can protect you. And then oil. Oil is certainly part of the agenda, too, with Venezuela. And you'll like to guess, because we talk about the fact that we've got this election on Sunday and Hugo Chavez. Why is it that so many Americans just worship Chavez and thought he was the greatest guy on the face of the earth? But Dr. Vanessa Newman, who grew up in Venezuela and can't go back there, she probably would never return, talks about really how threatening Chavez was and his regime did, and what the danger is of getting the wrong person in place. That's next here on America Tonight.
Prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words: disaster stuff. Add.com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. Disasterstuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping, plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags, starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words: DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
With me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and everywhere in between and outside the boundaries, too. I've talked about Venezuela and some of the time that I spent in Caracas. Very pleased to be joined by Dr. Vanessa Newman, who is a senior fellow at the Foreign Policy Research Institute in both their program on national security and, of course, their Center for the Study of Terrorism. Dr. Newman, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I also want to
say,
I also want to say you're a spokesperson for Free Venezuela. Let me ask you this before we dive into this. Where did you grow up?
Well, in between Caracas and New York. I was born in Caracas, and at the age of 10, I started studying in the United States, but I always kept my ties back to Venezuela, and I'd spent all my holidays there up until the last couple of years when it was deemed that it was too dangerous for me to go back because of my criticism of the Chavez government and my writing about their involvement in drugs and terrorism.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I had a friend that lived in Venezuela for a while and was telling me similar things. And yet you had to be, when you'd see things like Sean Penn and other movie stars and other people talking about how great Hugo Chavez is, was that infuriating to you after you knew what was really happening?
It's absolutely infuriating. It's absolutely infuriating. And by the way, I find it sort of somewhat arrogant. I mean, how dare they come down? It is really treating Venezuela like it's, you know, like it's a poor stepchild or something like, oh no, you're all wrong. I'm going to tell you how your politics should run. And they get very angry if you say, look, this is really what's going on. There's a tremendous criminality, the support of terrorism, terrible repression. Pro-democracy protesters have been shot and killed on the orders of the government, routinely. And there's Sean Penn thinking, you know, they want to believe that Chavez and his supporters are liberators or some sort of heroes. Well, you know, if you think it's so great, come and live in Caracas.
Yeah, there you go. I'm glad that you said that. I got really criticized heavily for constantly bringing that up and coming up with evidence and saying, listen, this is what I'm telling you right here. So do you feel optimistic now that with Chavez gone and here we go again with a presidential election coming up and the second presidential election in over 6 months? Do you feel optimistic about the future for Venezuela?
To be honest, not in the short term. I wish I could say otherwise. I'm a big supporter of Capriles because I think that he has towed a very good line of, like, speaking about uniting the country, has not been vitriolic, talking about the rule of law and inclusion and doing this right for everyone. So that's all great. But unfortunately, I think that the playing field is just so uneven that, you know, Chavez had the advantage. You could say that, you know, Chavez was, the death of Chavez was the loss of the most charismatic leader. So they've lost that. But everybody else is still in power. You still have a great ground game. They control the people who count the votes. They control the Supreme Court. They control the oil company, which the public sector has grown tremendously under Chavez. All of those people are obligated to vote for the Chavistas, which is now Maduro, Nicolas Maduro, the anointed successor. So he's at a terrible disadvantage. And in case you doubt it, I mean, Capriles came the closest ever to defeat Chavez, better than closer than anybody had come before in October. But then by their conceding that the how the electoral game was run, then you, in 2 months later, in December, you saw how they were at a disadvantage. They lost a lot of state. So, you know, I think that was real evidence of how the game is rigged. So he's got an uphill battle.
Yeah. You know, there's people listening to this and they're saying, you know, and we have a lot of people that listen to us in South America and other places, but Americans listening to this are probably saying to themselves, well, why do we care about Venezuela? But I think they should care. Tell everybody why you think they should care about this election.
Well, they're absolutely, first of all, they're major oil exporters to the United States. Not only that, they are seen as the leaders of the Latin American left. The huge supporters of Iran, by the way, one of the key nodes for how Iran gets around its sanctions through they have access to the Venezuelan banking system, the shipping infrastructure of the oil company. They have subsidiary banks in Venezuela. They train terrorists that have killed hundreds of Americans, the Hezbollah, and, you know, they're harboring real enemies of the United States in a country that before that, you know, in the Venezuela I was born into, it was very American. It's become an enemy, and they're harboring America's greatest enemy, which is Iran.
Yeah, absolutely. And Iran, as you well said, and that's it, an important ally, and certainly not for the United States. So it is a wild game of chess. Depending on what happens, and talking about, you know, who's going to be if the hand-picked successor, if it's Maduro, if he ends up getting in, do you see more of the same? I mean, is he going to be tyrannical, or what do you see from him if he's the guy?
Well, I think so. Everybody, you know, there was a lot of talk that he would be more moderate, that he had been more moderate, that he was sort of more of a crowd pleaser and a pragmatist, and that Chavez had picked him because he was sort of slightly everybody's proxy. But he's a he's a foreign minister who had negotiated all the deals with Cuba, Iran, Belarus, Russia, everything else. So he has all those guys backing him. But he thought, he was a little bit of a puppet under Chavez because he didn't want to offend them. But it often happens with these puppets. Once they get into power, you know, they become a strong man. And he has, by the way, he has spoken. We can absolutely expect him to be a strong man. By the way, he shouldn't even be in power now. Already the Constitution has been broken. He's now running as sort of the de facto president running for election. But really it should be Diosdado Cabello, who's the president of the National Assembly. So they're already breaking the rules. So I don't see why we should expect anything better. The only thing is, there's a little bit of a loss of faith because he has shown himself to be a little bit incompetent, not quite having the charisma, but they have all that power, so I wouldn't be too optimistic.
Last one, Dr. Newman, for this actual election day, April 14th, is there stuffing of ballot boxes? Do you think you get a true vote count, or what do you think happens as far as that's concerned?
No, you've got things happening on both ends, basically. You get a lot of fear, fear-mongering. People, you know, there's before every election, there's a little story that comes out that the Chavistas might be able to track the votes. So you have people who think, well, if you vote against the government, you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. You don't want them to win, and then they know your name and that you voted against them. Don't forget, Venezuela was, I think, in 2006, they had their referendum, and they got all the names of the people who had signed it, and they published them publicly. A lot of those people lost their jobs or left the country. So, so you have fear and intimidation on the one hand, and then just outright cheating on the other. We also have evidence that in the past they've had people who voted who never actually existed or who died 50 years ago. So, there is stuffing of ballot boxes and coercion.
Wow. Well, we'll wait to see what happens there. Dr. Vanessa Newman, thanks so much. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Thanks.
See you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, isn't it interesting, as she said, and I said for the longest time, I didn't understand people propping up Chavez when he did unspeakable things to his own people. You know, give me a break. And she just verifies that same thing and why it's significant and why there should be some concern over who is it that steps in Venezuela. It's just such a pleasure, though, to not talk about Hugo Chavez, and he's not the guy running the country, thank goodness. When he got cancer and they were talking about it seemed as though, and that's the rhetoric that he was releasing, that he was beating it, but he really wasn't. He had taken a really bad turn. And once that happened, they were starting to prepare for, okay, you know, who's going to come in here. So this election is definitely a big deal. Oil, Iran, ties, think of the ties, Iran with Hezbollah and the possibilities there. Think of people coming up through Mexico and then coming into the United States. Where are they coming from and what is it they're looking to do? And so I think there's a big concern as to who wins and what ultimately our relationship is with that country. Are we going to have a better relationship after all the tension that we had with Hugo Chavez? There is probably a good chance of that depending on who it is that gets elected here, and if the country moves in a sort of a different direction. Maduro has accused the U.S. government of plotting to kill Capriles and then blaming it on his administration, and so they've done all this, like she's saying, game playing, planting stories and whatnot. But the big thing is, think of the crude oil reserves and the economic host that they become to a lot of governments around Latin America. Hang with us.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor. just won't quit.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The coming financial collapse is real. The subsequent social unrest will happen. Even if you made it out of suburbia alive, where would you take your family? Act now to secure your survival retreat in the American Redoubt with the experts at SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. The American Redoubt is the designated safe haven for all liberty-minded patriots relocating to Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Get eyes, ears, and boots on the ground. Get professional, confidential, discreet advice. Get SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. Call 208-627-2855. Save time, money, and stress while you secure your ultimate survival retreat property now, before it's too late. Water, energy, food, defense. SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com.
Tonight, you know, in this show, or on this show anyway, we try to, as I say, invite everybody's opinion into the parlor, whether you're right, left of left, don't label yourself anything. And labels sometimes can be dangerous. We've seen that in the past. In the wings is Gursant Singh. He's got a book out called Confessions of an American Sikh, and he talks about his story about dealing with all kinds of things that happened in his culture and then coming to America and what that was like. And we see some of the things certainly that have happened. We've got about 1 million Sikhs, give or take, in the U.S. who are definitely misunderstood. A lot of people don't even understand what it means to be a Sikh as far as the religion goes. Gursant, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
So let's talk about the beginning. Let's talk about, for you, when you first made the transition coming to the United States. Of course, we had 9/11, and I think when 9/11 hit, and I mean, let's just say it, anybody wearing a turban, all of a sudden you were misunderstood and you were labeled. Did you find that happening?
Yes, very much so. I mean, it's a very good question. I'm glad you asked it. First of all, I don't know if you're aware, but I grew up in an average American family in Southern California, and I was a Christian at the time. So I converted to Sikhism about 35 years ago. So I just wanted to make that clear. And then to address your question about if I ran into problems after 9/11, I had many people heckling me for wearing a turban and also uncut hair with my long beard. I was very visible, if you will, and for many Sikhs, this has been a problem because some people mistake us for being the Taliban or terrorists, things like that. But in fact, the Sikh religion is the fifth largest religion in the world, and we believe in one God, and we are peaceful people. We have homes and families and regular jobs, if you will. And so we're very much part of the American fabric.
But you didn't find, was that happening before 9/11? Was it not happening very much when you first converted from Christianity and then went to Sikhism? Did that happen initially in the beginning or no? Was it more about, okay, now what happened in New York and what happened at the Pentagon and in the field has just set off sort of a firestorm in the United States and that's the way it's been?
I had some of it. I definitely encountered some discrimination before that time. In fact, I tried to get in the U.S. Army in 1982, and there had been exemptions for Sikhs initiated by President Harry Truman in 1948, and Sikhs have served proudly in the Canadian, the U.K., and also in the U.S. Army and up until about 1980 or so. And then when Reagan came into office, I think there was a lot of pressure from some of the right-wing groups that didn't want to have other religions in the U.S. Army. So Reagan did away with that exemption for Sikhs that was given by Truman. There were some Sikhs who were already in there, but they were grandfathered in and able to serve. So I tried to join the U.S. Army in 1982, went down the enlistment center with my turban and beard and coupon there, and was basically rejected. They said that I couldn't join. The excuses they gave were things like that a gas mask wouldn't fit properly over the beard, but it's not the case. There was a Sikh in the U.S. Army who was actually teaching chemical warfare, and they had commended him. But so the U.S. Army has been discriminatory even up to this day. They allow some exemptions on that. So to answer your question, there was discrimination definitely before 9/11, but it became more pronounced, I think, in the public because of visibility, like I said, of the of our faith, wearing the turban and beard, and kind of look-alike, if you will, of some of the Taliban and these people in the Middle East that are terrorists.
Yeah. Well, here's something I think people wouldn't understand about the Sikh religion, about one of the tenets of it anyway. How do you feel about guns?
Well, I'm a very big supporter of training with firearms and learning safety. I definitely feel like guns and firearms are part of the Sikh tradition. I look at our Sikh history. We have a strong history of fighting for rights of individuals and also the rights of other people to live and practice their religion the way they feel they want to. In India, the Sikhs fought the Mughals for centuries against their oppression. Against they were oppressing the Hindus there and trying to convert them to the Muslim faith. So the Sikhs were the only ones who stood up and said, you know, this is not right. We used all kinds of weapons. So it's part of our history. In fact, we are required to wear a small dagger called a kirpan, part of our religious tenets of faith, if you will. So I've recently filed a lawsuit against the state of California saying that their laws that regulate these weapons that are so-called like assault rifles, I said that it's really against our faith, or against our faith to regulate them, and we should be able to carry these kind of weapons. You know, there was that shooting there in Wisconsin at a Sikh temple. You may have heard of it. Six Sikhs were killed by a gunman there, and he was carrying a semi-automatic pistol that carried 19 rounds in the magazine. And so I think that if a Sikh had been there, or anybody for that matter, with an assault rifle, been trained and had that available to them readily, either in their car or in the temple there itself, that they could have stopped that guy. And so I'm really making a big push that we seek defend ourselves and learn about firearms. And I've gotten a concealed weapons license here in California, so I can carry a handgun wherever I go, and I do that. trying to train other Sikhs, and I've been coaching a junior rifle team here in the city also. I think it's a really important thing that we've lost over the years, is this idea of being able to train with weapons. It's become so un-PC to have, you know, weapons and train with them, but really it's just a fear. And if we let these people who have the guns, like the criminals and the hate mongers who have these guns, if we let only them have the guns, we're going to lose that battle. We need to train as citizens of the United States with weapons and get back to this training that we used to have with firearms. I grew up in a family in the 60s where my father was in the Marine Corps for 14 years, and he trained my brother and I to use firearms. And Boy Scout camp, we used firearms and trained with .22 caliber rifles. I went on to compete in the Olympics, not in the Olympics, but it tried out for the Olympics, and shot some national records in smaller rifle competition. So it was really part of it. And you never heard about these kind of shootings with people that were in these NRA clubs and shooting programs. You just never heard about it. But now, over the years, people have gotten away from that kind of training shooting. And I think that people, they don't have any respect for firearms anymore, and they don't understand them, so they just fear them. So the only people left that have them are these people that are nuts. And so we need to, like I said, we need to get back to that kind of training with firearms.
Yeah, I so agree with you. So, very well said. I love the idea that you're working with the junior rifle team, and you went through the process of the concealed weapon. As you said what I say all the time, it's about knowing how to shoot, having respect for the weapons, getting it, being comfortable with it, responsible ownership, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a very good point. I grew up in a family where my father was in the Marine Corps for 14 years. My mother was also a shooter, and I still have the same pistol that she shot with in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, I remember him laying two pistols on the bed, and he said, "Okay, now this is how we treat these weapons, with respect, and you always treat a weapon like it's loaded." So I grew up from a very young age. I went to a military academy, this Harding Military Academy in Glendora, where we also had a rifle team. And we learned discipline. We learned respect for the rules of society, and we learned teamwork and comradeship also, working with other young people and adults in the shooting team. Like, for example, that Adam
Lanza.
That Lanza, yeah, who shot the school kid there in Connecticut.
Yeah.
He was just a hermit and shut himself up. I think that if he'd been part of a NRA rifle team or shooting club, that he would have learned proper use of weapons, and certainly the coaches and people there could have spotted any kind of mental problems that he had. But he was just a loner. And so, again, you won't see this kind of activity with these junior shooters that I've been coaching and that I grew up with, like happened with Adam there. So, again, I encourage this this training with weapons,
mm-hmm.
and people familiarize themselves with them.
Yep.
You know? Like in Switzerland, they have a requirement that everybody should have an assault rifle.
Yeah.
And I think, frankly, that should be the way it is here too. We should train with people, and people, you know, I'm a big believer in training and going to the military. Because, you know, like my father, he said it was the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've really gotten away from that kind of training and discipline and learning about how we can serve our country and how we can be better Americans.
I agree, and that's what they do in Israel. We're out of time. Gersan Singh, pick up his book, Confessions of an American Sikh. Thanks so much.
Thank you, okay.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
All right, everybody knows, I think by now, Earth Day is coming up April 22nd. You know, it's that whole thing about saving the planet, but what are you doing? You know, there are little things in all of our lives that we can do that are so easy that for some reason people just don't think of. In the wings, Linda Watson. She's a food evangelist, or evangelist, I guess is the way you say it, whose mission is to help people save money and eat wonderful foods while protecting the planet. Wow. And she has such an interesting background. We could probably fill up two shows with everything that Linda's involved with. She's the author of Wildly Affordable Organic, Eat Fabulous Food, Get Healthy, and Save the Planet. And here's the best part that'll perk all of you up, all on $5 a day or less. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Linda.
Great thrill to be here. Thanks, Kate.
So here's the thing. That's what people will say. Sometimes the excuse is, oh, that food's so expensive. I can't go to Central Market, Whole Foods, the farmer's market. It costs so much. I can't feed my family on that. But you're saying that's not true. You have a way that you can do it, correctly? Am I saying that correctly?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I just met John Mackey, the head of Whole Foods here in Raleigh. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina, about 2 weeks ago. And when he saw my book and realized that I had priced it at Whole Foods, he said, this is the book I've been waiting for. You can go organic on $5 a day per person, and you can use thrifty ingredients, good ingredients grown with conventional farming practices, for about $3.21 a day. Mm. That's less than the food stamp allowance here in North Carolina, and I'm happy to show anybody how to do it.
Yeah. Do you have some simple tips you could throw out at us and then get people hungry for your book, so to speak?
Absolutely. The very first thing is cook a pot of beans every week.
Start with dried beans. You just sort through them, rinse them off, throw them in the slow cooker. You don't even need to soak them. Turn them on before you go to work. Turn them on before you go to bed at night. 6-8 hours, you have a whole pot full of low-fat, high-quality, super delicious food. You can throw in some onions, garlic, tomatoes, whatever, different spices. I've got a load of recipes. But you can make about 20 servings of food in 20 minutes of time, and it's super cheap and good for you. I'd start there.
As a food evangelist, have you done this for a long time in your own personal life, or did you just discover it and then you said, wow, I can eat healthier, I can eat better, I can eat cheaper, and I can also help the earth?
Well, you know, I was eating pretty well, and I've been involved in politics and environmental missions for a long time. But it wasn't until I got started trying to figure out the food stamp challenge that I really realized that the key is, if you'll shop for thrift, you get the answer to everything. If you're shopping for thrift, you have to eat with the seasons. You have to eat low on the food chain. You can't have a third cupcake, right? You can have one cupcake. Some days you can have two cupcakes, but that third cupcake, that's outside your budget. And if you don't put it on your plate, it doesn't go to your hips. So that's one way to save it. And I did a project about 6 years ago that took me first 3 weeks, and then it was so good we did it for 3.5 months, and that's where the book and the videos and everything else comes from.
The the whole idea of saving the earth, part of that is we're not protecting the planet, right? When with all this plastics and all the other things that we wrap our food in, I think of fast food, and I can't even imagine what we're doing with fast food. We know what we're doing to our bodies, and we know it's cheap and it's quick and it's easy, and that's why people do it. But when we talk about, as you mentioned, the ingredients and the things that you can get, you're certainly with fast food, even though they're trying to, some of the places are trying to change things, they're still creating a lot of damage out there, aren't they?
They sure are. And that's one of the places, too, you can think about shopping for more of your local foods. And also, whenever you can, I say go organic. And it's not just that it's good for your kids. I mean, there are studies that show that pesticide-drenched apples and other foods shave IQ points off your kids. So you want smart kids, and we all want smart kids as citizens around us. But it's important for the children of farm workers and the farm worker families, too. So you can really make a big difference in the environment for those people who are working to bring you food, and all the fish and animals and butterflies and birds and bees that are drinking out of that water. You want it to be safe for everybody.
What are the dirty foods? You know, where you were just talking about that with the apples. What are the things that you, at all costs, if you had to do something, don't get, buy organic as far as these foods are concerned?
You know, the really easiest thing to remember in the grocery store is if you peel it, then that's a place where you can save money. So bananas, it'd be great to go all organic, but if you can't do that, think about it. If you're gonna peel bananas, onions, other foods like that, foods that you can't peel, lettuce, blueberries, strawberries, and then foods where you want to eat the peel, like apples and potatoes, make sure you buy those organic. You won't be able to get rid of all the pesticides if you peel the food, and of course you're getting rid of some of the nutrition, but it makes a big difference. So that's where I would start.
Yeah. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about this. In reading your bio, it's so cool. You mentioned politics and that you were on this mission to save the world through politics before you started, you know, working with food and combining those interests. And at one point, you also worked with Tom Clancy and Douglas Adams. Tell us about that, something with computer games.
Oh, I've had such a bizarre and crazy career. I actually did my graduate work in artificial intelligence and natural language processing. I worked first for the Institute for Defense Analyses, making the world safer today, and then got a chance to work in computer games. So I was the executive product manager for Tom Clancy's first video game, the SSN, which is a submarine game. That was hugely fun. And then I did the natural language engine for Douglas Adams' last game, the Starship Titanic. And that part, it was a brand new thing in computer games. It was the first time you could type in whatever you wanted on the keyboard, and my part understood what you typed in and sent that information to the game character so they could do something funny in response.
Oh, wow. So how do you go from that? You're an analyst, defense analyst, and then you swing into games because you knew computers, right?
I knew computers, and you know, it's funny. I got started as a technical writer, so that's why my recipes really work. All my recipes in Wildly Affordable Organic, they turn out. I don't forget steps. You know, I make sure all the ingredients are in there. And then I sort of got going in the technical thing, and I thought, as a woman coming up, growing up, went to high school in the 70s, I thought, I'm going to go save the world by being a woman in the workforce. Good for all of us who did that. We've really changed the world. But then I realized that the environment is something that really needed our help more. So I moved from the one thing to the fun of computer games, because I'd always loved science fiction, back into politics. And then I realized each of us has the power with every meal to vote with our fork. If every one of your listeners would just say, you know, this week, once, tonight, I'm going to eat low on the food chain. I'm not going to waste something. I'm going to cook something myself from scratch. I'm going to choose something that was grown with care and love. We can make the world a better place, and that gives the politicians and businesses the runway they need to make the changes they have to make.
Yeah, well said. How much do you think, and this is kind of in along the same lines, but how much food do you think we throw out?
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. People throw out one-third of their food. And that's just, there are pitiful graduate students in Arizona who dig through people's trash and figure this stuff out. So that's not even counting the stuff that goes down your garbage disposal, winds up in your compost heap, or that Johnny throws away in the lunchroom. That's just good food that's in the trash. So I've got a couple really easy tips for that, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
One is I'd start, put an empty Tupperware container or like a canning jar in your freezer, and then start feeding it. When you have like a half of an onion you're not using, you brought some takeout food home that you're not going to eat, people didn't completely finish everything that was for dinner, start putting that in there, and it'll layer up. You'll get basically minestrone. When it's all full, you thaw it out overnight in the refrigerator and then heat it up on your stove, taste it. I've got on my website Cook for Good. I've got some ways to doctor that up a little bit if it's not great. But a lot of times it's just delicious right out of the jar. And that's a free lunch. You didn't pay for it, and it didn't mean that you had all those nasty Tupperware containers in the back of your refrigerator that, you know, you just put them back there and then you have to clean them out. Keep your refrigerator clean, and it saves you money.
Yeah. You certainly have talked to a lot of big chefs, obviously, with what you do, and you just went through a big conference. What's one of the latest, greatest things that you've seen recently in the two conferences that you just went to that we didn't have a ticket to?
Yeah, I was so lucky. I just got back from San Francisco, and at the Conscious Capitalism Conference, I just got all charged up. Really, there's a lot of companies like Whole Foods, Patagonia, those sorts of folks that are working to do right for the planet while they do right for their business. So that was great. And one of the speakers was the guy who runs Bon Appetit Catering Company. And you don't usually hear about them, but they make 70 million meals a year. They provide the food at high-quality cafeterias and hospitals, universities, that sort of place. And he said that they did not buy tomatoes from Florida for 6 months. That's 35 million meals without tomatoes, because they didn't think that the farm workers would be treated well enough there.
Mm.
And because of that pressure, those farm workers have better living and working conditions.
Wow.
So that's just, that really shows you, if you not only buy your food, good food, but if you support good companies, you can help people make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're out of time. Linda Watson, pick up her book, Wildly Affordable Organic, Eat Fabulous Food, Get Healthy, and Save the Planet. Thanks, Linda.
Thanks, Kate. Loved it.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.